Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, we're in for some interesting days, are we not? 365 of them, to be exact. And if you notice, my voice isn't quite as strong as normal. It's because I'm not quite as healthy as normal. Might even be the big C word. I don't know yet. We had some exposure with some friends last week, so we'll see what happens. I'm definitely not feeling great, but we're in here today, and especially for tomorrow and Wednesday, which will be absolutely historic days. Happy New Year, everybody. Absolutely historic days in U.S. history. Tomorrow, because of the two Senate runoff races down in Georgia, are we going to get an answer tomorrow on that? Probably not. Can we trust the results of that? I don't know. The more time I spend listening, reading, and watching the different things that have been put forth as considerations of the integrity of this past election, the more I think they need to put the kibosh on the whole thing, and Ted Cruz is going to ask for a 10-day stay and say, okay, we need to. But are they going to really be able to investigate it in 10 days? No, but they might be able to find enough, or at least to verify enough for the American people to see. But who knows? It seems like the whole fix is in across the board. And then if we have a Biden presidency, what's that going to look like? My buddy TJ sent me this. Welcome to the era of nonstop stimulus. This was in Wall Street Journal. President-elect Joe Biden are now making it clear that the recent $900 billion stimulus bill will be at best only a down payment, quote unquote. And the now $3.3 trillion of total stimulus spending is just the beginning, quote unquote. It sounds like America's headed into a program of permanent stimulus. So what did 2020 ended up being a great year in the markets? Is it even remotely possible that 2021 could come anywhere near that? And so after a lengthy sabbatical, taking care of yourself as well as some time off for Christmas and the holidays. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, buddy. It's good to hear from you. David Fisher, Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. How are you?
I am so glad I'm on the program with you. I'm not so glad that you're not feeling very good, but you're in my prayers and my thoughts always, but a little bit more or a lot of bit more right now.
Yeah,
get me choked up. Get me a little choked up here. Sorry about that, my brother.
That's
but
all
yeah,
right.
I'm doing great. Had knee replacement. That is a brutal thing. Boy, I heard from somebody that had it done, there's three things that are the most painful. Childbirth. I know I'm not up for that because that's impossible. kidney stones and knee replacement. I have both of those, and they are both painful. But there are different types of pain, and I'm glad it's somewhat behind me, or most of the bad stuff is behind me. So,
yeah, amen. And we'll just continue to pray for one another as we have for a couple of years now, David. And God's going to do what He's going to do, and we can trust His plan above and beyond our own. And He's been good to both of us in so many different ways. We could never stop counting our blessings. So I just praise
all
the Lord
right.
for that and for you. Well, obviously, we ended a rather interesting year. We're going into another one that's going to be probably just as interesting, if not more so. But last year, 2020 is officially in the books, and it looks like the markets did pretty good.
Yeah, the Dow did what it, 7% is the normal averages over 50 years on what the indexes do. They're now just shy of that, 6.9%. S&P doubled that, a little more, 15.7%. But the NASDAQ, wow, 42.6%. I said a year ago, gold and silver would outperform most of the stock market. I was right, except for the NASDAQ.
Yeah.
You know, that's just insane. And that's because Fed bought bonds, and we'll talk about that later on. But anyway, otherwise, gold and silver were the number one performing assets, 25.2% in gold, and the number one asset, silver, 48.3%.
Wow.
What a crazy upward movement in the silver market. And a lot of that is attributed to the metals going up because the dollar went down the most aggressive in one of the years of 26 years I've been doing this, 6.7%. That's a big... That might not sound like a lot, but for a currency, and that being the U.S. dollar, that's a big downward movement in the dollar.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about that because that's a big part. I've been reading more about it, hearing more about it, what we can expect with the dollar, and of course everything that China is doing, not the least of which their goal is to pretty much decimate the United States of America as a world force. But you mentioned a couple of things, but gold and silver in the NASDAQ just completely off the charts, completely above average and what people would normally expect. Why did that happen?
Well, you know, let's talk about the Fed for a second. They have two mandates, price stability and sustainable employment. But the Fed did something that they'd never done before, and they went outside of those two mandates. They bought bonds for the first time, corporate bonds. And so because of that, that inflated or caused a big run in the tech rally, in the tech stocks being the NASDAQ, specifically five stocks aggressively, more than the rest. But there was a lot of movement upward across the board as a whole. The Fed also printed money, which causes, if you know, I use your analogy, two scales, money or dollars on one side. Anytime you create more of something, it devalues that something, and it causes the other side of the scale to go up. So when dollars are created more of and go down, gold and silver goes up. And on top of that, the Fed, just put it into perspective, in a two-week period of time from November 15th to the 30th, they increased the money system 25%.
Jeez.
The explosion of money creation we've ever had. I mean, in an 11-year period of time from 2008 to 2019, the money supply increased $2.2 trillion. Last year, increased in 1 year, $1.3 trillion. So it's just insane how much they're increasing the money supply and, of course, the government debt. That all caused a huge rally in the NASDAQ. But I would say this, if you're people asking Santa not to bring that, give him any power or anything like that, but all I want for Christmas is a bull market in 2021 better than 2020. I wouldn't hang your hat on that because there's a lot of people thinking inflation is coming, interest rates might rise, things like that, and that's not necessarily good for market in stocks. I think we're going to have good market in stocks, but I don't think we're going to have the same repeat of a 48% increase or 43% increase in the NASDAQ.
Yeah, and it was amazing with 2020 as the backdrop of all that, and COVID and the shutdowns and the devastation of the economy, which of course turned around and blew up. It'll be interesting to see what the fourth quarter growth rate is coming in at, but they're saying it's probably going to be around 10%, which is amazing, obviously. But it was a wild year, and if you had a great year on the stock market and in gold and silver, yeah, like David said, probably don't ask for more than that in 2021. I think if we can just do okay, that would be a pretty good prayer request. We'll talk about a lot more details when we come back right after this.
So what are we waiting for?
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. And big historic week, okay? So I'll be in here, not feeling great, but I'll be in here tomorrow. I'll be in here Wednesday, God willing, Thursday and Friday. And tomorrow, of course, the runoff election for the two U.S. Senate seats down in Georgia. Can you even trust the results of that election? I mean, 3 million people have voted early already, and it's going to be a huge turnout tomorrow. And if the presidential election's any indicator of what we can expect, we won't know anything tomorrow night by the time you go to bed. I don't know that we'll know anything by the end of the week, because apparently in Georgia they've lost the ability to count and they've lost the ability to pay attention. And so there's all kinds of things going on down there. There was in the presidential election. I have no reason to believe that won't be for all the marbles, literally, in the Senate. Because remember, it's 50-48 right now, 50 Republicans and 48 Democrats. But if they were actually to win, the Democrats were to win both these seats, it'd be 50-50 in swoops, assuming Kamala Harris and Joe Biden take the White House. In swoops, Kamala Harris, who only gets to vote in a tie. And now you've got the progressive, crazy, whacked out, amen, a woman, disgusting agenda, which has no holds barred. If you have Biden and Kamala Harris in the White House, and Nancy Pelosi controls the House, and in the Senate, it's tie. So, and Kamala Harris breaks all the tie votes. You're gonna have devastation in this country like you had never thought was possible. So I'm going to be in here talking exclusively and praying. We're going to pray on the air together and talk through these things tomorrow and Wednesday, because Wednesday is the big showdown in Congress, joint session of Congress. where now, thank God, answered a prayer. You've got a number of senators now, plus over 100 House of Representative Republicans that are going to contest the contested states when it comes to the Electoral College vote. We haven't seen anything of this size in the history of the country, and we need to be praying and crying out to God. And we don't deserve mercy, but we continue to pray for that all the way to the end. There's so much wickedness. There's so much darkness. And so part of me, because I know the scriptures, I know where we're headed, not only as a nation, but as a world. And you won't have full justice until Jesus comes back and initiates it himself. But in the meantime, we should always work towards that, work towards the kingdom, work towards truth and justice, perfect truth, perfect justice, and against the forces of darkness. And it's just crazy as we see all this unfolding in our nation. It's really just heartbreaking. But today we're focusing on the economy, what happened last year, what we can look forward to this year with our good friend David Fisher, landmarkgold.com, as always, or 844-879-8882, the same phone number they've always had. For you to get an education, that's what we're here to talk about. We inform, we educate, you make your own decisions, but we're just trying to give you as much information as we can. David, again, thanks for taking the time today.
Absolutely. You know, if that happens the way you outlined it, I call it the perfect storm.
Oh, man.
It would be a torrential storm. We would probably do a special Money Monday specifically on that, because I think things would look completely different than what I think they're going to look like right now. It would just be utter chaos, like you said. So I'll be in prayer with you guys about that not happening. So,
yep, exactly right. We need to be crying out to the Lord. Again, I approach that throne with fear and trembling, because I know as a nation we don't deserve it, not the least of which is the murder of 61 million babies, which we've called legal since 1973. But everything else going on, did you see, David, and then we'll get right back to our content, that the quote-unquote Methodist, quote-unquote minister in the House of Representatives closed his prayer. He's talking about in the name of the monotheistic God and Brahma, which is the creation God of Hinduism, which is which is fake anyway. That's a lie. That's a false religion. And then he says, amen. And then he pauses and says, a woman. And that happened in the House of Representatives. That was my initial reaction too. I laughed because I'm like, hey, you idiot. It's not a gendered term. It simply means I agree, essentially,
yeah,
in Latin.
Exactly. Yeah.
But he actually thought he was being progressive and enlightened. This is a guy that calls himself a minister. And he goes, amen, and a woman. I don't know that, I keep saying, David, that I can't be shocked, and then stuff like that happens.
I'm at a loss of words, and that seldom happens. I'm speechless. I did not catch that. Of course, I haven't been doing much studying because I haven't felt very good, but that's just, you talk about the fall of a country. The spiritual fall of a country leads towards other things falling in the country.
That's right.
That's the heart of the country, and that's what our country was founded on, and that's why we're having all these other issues. That's the hub.
Yep, that's exactly right. That is the ground out of which all this other stuff is coming out of. It's really, really heartbreaking. So whether we have the perfect storm or not, we'll deal with that if and when it happens. But where would you say our government spending and national debt is headed in 2021? Because we obviously totally blew that out at a record pace in 2020. Our budget deficit was about $3 trillion, and we're up at $27.5 trillion now. What can we expect in the next 12 months?
Well, the letters SOS, and I'm not talking about save our ship. I'm talking about stimulus over extravagant spending. Jeez. That's where we're headed. You know, they just passed this $2.3 trillion bill, which is the omnibus 1.4 and the COVID-19 bailout package of $900 billion. So, and it's not going to stop there. The budget for 2021 is going to be between $5.5 to $6 trillion, which is higher than it was at $4.9 last year. You know, and that's not including Green Deal, which is conservatively $2 trillion. Many say it's more like $10 trillion. And there's a handful of economists are saying, you got it all wrong. It's $100 trillion, if not more.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, and the foundational principle is going to pay for itself through the tax cuts that President Trump put into place, corporate tax cut and personal tax cut. So, and there's no way, even if it was $2 trillion, it wouldn't pay for that. So we're going to spend like crazy. The government is going to spend like crazy. They're going to stimulate. The Fed is going to do that like crazy. We thought we saw a lot in 2020. I think it's going to be, I'm going to give my prediction towards the end of the program. I'm going to predict less than that, but I think in reality I'm going to be wrong in my prediction. I mean, once again, too conservative. So it's a lot of spending and a lot of stimulus on behalf, unfortunately, of our government.
Yeah, and that I referenced this earlier, the Wall Street Journal op-ed piece, Welcome to the Era of Nonstop Stimulus. And at one point they say, because Mr. Biden's proposed program is little more than Mr. Obama's tax, spend, and regulate agenda on steroids, and because his appointees are merely grayer retreads of the Obama administration, it's excessively optimistic to believe that his stimulus will do any more good for the economy than Mr. Obama's did. In reality, stimulus spending has nothing to do with good long-term economic outcomes and everything to do with political outcomes. And that's so well said, but that's the deal, that they're just continuing to prop up. There's no responsibility whatsoever. It's a moral outrage, but we hear people rarely talk about it in those terms. But it's just going to continue to get worse and worse and worse.
It will, unfortunately. That is the that is how the government is set up. They're not set up to, you know, balance the budget. We've only had one president in the last 20-some years, Clinton for a little bit there, 1 year, and
yep.
It's just not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Well, you mentioned the dollar earlier. That's a big deal. It's a big deal not only here but around the world. So we're talking to David Fisher with Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. We're going to talk about the dollar. What can we expect to see happening to the dollar in the next 12 months? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. If you've never tried fasting before, maybe you've never done it, you never fasted, the next 48 hours would probably be a pretty good time for you to give it a shot. So fasting could involve just fasting from social media, fasting from television, fasting from sugar, fasting, whatever. You could do bread and water fast. But over the next 48 hours, we're going to see literally historic things happening in this country. Tomorrow, literally for all the marbles in the U.S. Senate, which could mean all the marbles in the federal government for at least 2 years, if Democrats somehow were able to pull off two upsets tomorrow, and they're neck and neck, okay, so I'm being optimistic. So they're neck and neck, and if they actually happen to win those two seats tomorrow, you're going to have a 50-50 Senate, and all ties would be done by Kamala Harris, assuming they get in. Which I'm not assuming that yet, but that's what would happen. That's the perfect storm, okay? Then the next day, you have the official. This is the official day, January 6th. And then 2 weeks later, you have an inauguration, maybe. But January 6th, now in Congress, joint session of Congress, and I'm going to talk about this ad nauseum tomorrow and Wednesday, and we're going to pray together on the air tomorrow and Wednesday over these things, okay? So that's a big deal. That's historic. We've never seen that many states contested in the history of this nation. You've got now 12-plus senators, finally, and you've got over 100 Republican representatives in the House, and they're going to object to seating or certifying the electors from six different states. And that when every time they do it, when the next state comes up, they cut up the joint session of Congress, they split, they send them back to their individual houses, they have 2 hours, and hopefully this is something we can all be praying for Wednesday. Hopefully there's a compelling case made where people actually have to deal with the truth. It comes out of the dark into the light. Now that's a stretch, and only God can pull that off, which is why if you're a follower of Christ, you need to be in prayer as often, as much, and as brokenheartedly as you can over these next 48 hours. This is literally for the future of this nation. So it's not necessarily mostly for you or for me or for David Fisher at Landmark Capital. It's for our children and their children, and that's why we have to engage for our posterity, which is a word we don't throw around very much anymore. How do you feel about the general state of the nation, David?
It's not the same country that is pre-9/11, as you would say. We are losing our sovereignty as a nation, and the founding the principles that our nation was founded on, our godly beliefs, our freedoms, our spiritual freedoms, financial freedoms, So there's a cancer from within caused by our own doing, not your and mine, but our leaders. And it's become acceptable and the new norm, and it just is like a snowball that's building and growing. And so I think, you know, as we look back, when you say, people say, remember the good old days? I think those were the good old days in any every facet that we can tie it to when it comes to the fall of our country. Our country is still a great nation.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
Amen.
I have not turned my back on my country. I pray for it.
Yes.
But we're doing everything that is causing destruction to our country.
Yeah, and only God can solve that. Only God can reveal what needs to be revealed, which is why we need to be crying out to him. Even though we have no right to cry out for mercy, that's exactly what we need. And that's the same thing with the gospel for us individually. It's the same thing for this nation. So let's all make sure we're doing that. Well, we talked a little bit, touched on the subject of the dollar, but what do you think is going to happen to the value of the dollar in 2021?
Well, Goldman said a month and a half ago the dollar is going to fall 6%. It fell 6.7% last year. Citi said 20%. Jeez. And I did a technical analysis. 20%, I kept saying, you know, previously on your shows that just seems unheard of. The more we're talking about what we just talked about, and the more I'm seeing the technical chart, not to get all technical and over people's head, but just there's a fundamental, which is the spending and the stimulus and foreigners selling the dollar and the Fed having to buy the dollar. That's the fundamental, and interest rates are factored into that. Then the technical is what the dollar trades at. Like the Dow trades at 30,000 and change. The dollar has an index it trades by. 103 was the top number this year on March 22nd for the highest the dollar had been by index. It's currently at 89. It broke through a lot of support levels this last year. It broke through a psychological number today, 90. It's 88 is a support level. That's not a big one. If it breaks through that, it's going to go quickly, or it's going to go down to 79, which would be more than 6%. Then the next major level after that is 71, which is right at a 20% fall in the dollar this year. If it goes below 71, then it'll be in territory it's never been before.
Wow.
So technically, this is why you're hearing a lot of, if anybody's watching the financials and exclude gold for a second, if you're hearing people saying the dollar is going to fall this year, that's why they're saying that, because traditionally, December seems to be in a 50-year span the most negative month for the dollar, while January historically is the best performing month. So if we take out January and we look at all the other months in this year, we're going to probably see a fall in the dollar. And typically, you do have 2 years back-to-back of an aggressive fall in currency. We had an aggressive fall last year. It's acceptable to have that, acceptable in historic terms, to have another year of a major fall. I think Citi now could be possibly right. I was saying no for two and a half months when it was announced. I can't fathom that. But not that I'm accepting it as I want it. I'm accepting it because I can see where there's so many people that have embraced the idea, and technically the chart shows that we could get there, unfortunately.
And what does that mean to your average consumer, your average investor, whether they have a little or a lot, in terms of the value of the dollar? How does that affect your average U.S. citizen, the average person listening to us right now?
Going to travel abroad means you got more money traveling. If you're it means less money coming into the U.S. stock market if you're a foreigner, which means less market upside in U.S. stocks, because a third of the stock market movement is because foreigners are choosing to invest in it. It also means that the trade deficit could get smaller because our products are cheaper and bought more. It means that gold and silver will rally more, unfortunately, which means that's a signal that we have some financial problems going on. It also means that foreigners are going to sell the dollar, because if it's losing 5, 10, 15, 20%, you have to offset that through an interest rate, and interest rates are not that. So you have a guaranteed loss by holding U.S. dollars. So you will literally see the bathtub plug being pulled out of the drain. If this happens, there's going to be, you thought we saw a huge sell-off in the dollar by foreigners. We're going to have a massive sell-off, and we're going to have a bigger financial problem than ever before if it goes to that, as Citi's group is right, at the 20% level, which means a financial crisis could come in 2021, unfortunately.
Yeah, really sobering and scary stuff. What about the Fed? Because they're always trying to prop things up. It's just a big shell game, as I always mention when we talk about the Fed. Excuse me. So what do you think the Fed's going to do this year?
Well, the Fed is in extreme easing mode, you know, quantitative easing, printing money out of thin air. And the Fed official target for inflation is 2%. It's been running like 1.1%. There's a survey out there that says inflation or interest rates, 74% say higher interest rates, 23% said it's going to be the same, and 3% are saying lower interest rates in 2021. Why am I bringing up interest rates? Because if we have a decline in the dollar and we have inflation, the Fed will be forced, more than likely, to have to raise rates to attract new money to finance this debt structure. So I think inflation is going to get close to the 2%. We have a financial crisis, it's going to go up beyond above 3%, which is going to, you know, then cause the 70s all over. So the Fed is trying to maintain this shell game. I don't think they have their hands around this thing. I think they're just, let's just keep throwing money at it, That may work for a couple of years, 3 years, 5 years, but at the end of a duration of time, you create debt, you got to pay down that debt, you got to service that debt, and they're not even looking at that, and neither is the government. So that's why this financial crisis will come. It's not if, it is going to come, and the longer we wait to deal with it, the more horrendous it will be. And I'm not a doomsdayer, but
yeah,
I could see some things aligning this year in 2021 that highly disturbs my spirit.
Yeah, I mean, right at the end of that Wall Street Journal article I mentioned, that's what they said. It isn't a question of if the government is going to run out of other people's money, but when. And that's exactly what we're dealing with here. And they just can't get it done because the fundamentals just aren't there anymore. Do you want to do some predictions when we come back, David?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, we're going to do that with David Fisher, LandmarkGold.com. As always, LandmarkGold.com. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I just like that little intro, so I decided to let that one play and keep my mouth shut for a minute. Anyway, great to be with you doing a Full Money Monday today with our good friend David Fisher, LandmarkGold.com. As always, the website, LandmarkGold.com, or you can give them a call. Nice, easy way, old-fashioned way these days. 844-879-8882 is the number. 844-879-8882. A great source of education, information. You make up your mind. I'm not selling you anything. I'm just saying, hey, here's a guy that knows, especially from the precious metals side of it all, as part of a diversified portfolio. What's the deal with that? How does that work? Why should I consider it? Those are questions for David and his team at LandmarkGold.com or 844-879-8882. But we're coming into this new year, and we've done this each year in the past, David. So here we go again with some predictions, which I've got my notepad out in my pen, so I'm ready to go. So let's go through these predictions you have for what we're looking at in 2021.
So I'm not David Letterman. I'm David Fisher, but we're going to do the top 10. So the number one, the Fed is going to pump at least $1.2 trillion in quantitative easing. I'm not talking about expanding the M1 money supply. That's on top of that. So that's where we got to the $3 trillion this last year. The Fed is going to let inflation rise above 2%. They wanted to hit 2% last year. They didn't do it. They're going to rise above 2%. I hope they contain it there and it doesn't go any higher. Number three, the Fed will not raise rates this year unless we have a credit or bond crisis, or if inflation gets out of the control of the Fed and rises above 3%, then they will be forced to raise rates. Otherwise, rates are going to stay low. And if you're wanting to buy a house because the rates are low or refinance, now is the time to do it. Rates might even be a little bit lower in the next coming month to 2 months. It's a great time because we're going to see yields go down, and TGA probably has a better handle on this than I do, but that's what I'm seeing. Mortgage rates are going to go even a little bit lower. So corporate taxes, if Vice President-elect Biden is the president, corporate taxes are going to rise, and rise substantially. Not good for markets. Personal taxes, those that make above $400K, those taxes will rise. And I think he said he's going to stop there. I think that's just the start, personally. So taxes are going to rise in 2021. The government will spend $6 trillion this year. I mean, we're only going to spend $2.3 trillion. Yeah. We spent $4.9 last year. We're going to spend $6 trillion this year. And if the Green Deal passes, it's going to be $8 or $9 trillion. So I'm predicting the government is going to spend $6 trillion and have a budget deficit at least $2 trillion. So that means we're going to have some businesses generating some revenue to the country, because we had a $3.1 trillion budget deficit last year. So $2 trillion, I'm saying it's going to be at least. The national debt, which is at $27.5 trillion, is going to be at $32 trillion or higher. Unemployment, currently at 6.8%, will go down, but still be above 5%. So it's not going back to where it was before. As far as the markets, the NASDAQ will not perform like it did last year, year. Don't expect that. I think you're going to see some more normal movement. I'm going to predict, say, 10, 12, maybe 15% movement in the indexes, except for maybe the NASDAQ having a hair more, because the Fed is committed to buying corporate bonds, which affects tech stocks more than others. The dollar is going to go down more in 2021 than it did last year, which means it's going to go down more than 6.7%. I hope it doesn't go down as much as Citi said it is. And gold and silver, again this year, will outperform most of the major stock indexes like it did last year, except for the bubble of the NASDAQ.
Yeah, so not terrible. But again, I think over the next 48 hours, that could have a huge impact on all of it.
We might throw a lot of these out the window and have to have a new top 10 list. And I might be saying, look for a bail-in. If those things happen, like you said, look for a bail-in. It might come to that, or within the next 4 years. Yeah. So we'll talk about that, though. If we get to that.
Now, one of the words that did not occur in this whole conversation today that we've talked about a lot in 2020 was China. So do you have any thoughts on what we can expect out of China in the next 12 months, especially if there's a Biden administration who, I think he's got, unfortunately, some pretty good relationships in China.
Well, he's going to connect China back into the herd, or what do you want to call it. He's going to build ties with China. China surpassed the United States as far as the economic powerhouse country, and I think they're going to even surpass us more this year than last year. China is drawing ties to the EU significantly right now, and the EU is embracing it. They have a whole bunch of problems with Brexit on their own, and they need for another economic source to partner with. China is laying the foundation to become the economic power of the world. It was there a couple hundred years ago or more, and now they're becoming that again in the early stages, and they have to compete with the United States. And one way they compete is the old adage, keep your enemies close, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Right. And so I think China wants a relationship with the United States because they want to source out their products to us. They know we're going to buy them. That's what Europe is doing now. And so it's buy the cheapest products, and the cheapest products come out of China because wages are the cheapest. And I think you're going to be a strong tie Also, the economic, the France, the Paris Agreement, Accord Agreement is going to be reunited with America in it. And so you're going to see a more of a one-world-ishness coming again. And it's going to also happen on central bank level greater than ever before, because we're going to see a lot of digital currencies coming to the forefront this year more than ever before.
Yeah, and all those things, I would encourage all you guys. I did a whole show on this a couple months ago called The Great Reset, which is real. Davos usually happens in January. They punted till May this year because of COVID. But that's real, and they see this, the mounting debt, the financial crisis, the COVID situation, as an opportunity. And that stuff's literally, you know this, David, it's literally right out of the pages of Scripture in terms of one world government, globalization, and doing away with the sovereignty of really every single country on the planet, which would set up nicely for a man of lawlessness, of course. But these things are all real, and they're going on. Just general, just to finish our conversation today, just general thoughts on what an investor should do in this environment for 2021.
But don't be in any one asset class. Don't be all in cash. Don't be all in stocks. Don't be all in real estate. Don't be all in gold and silver. Get some representation to do all these areas. If you don't have some money saved up, save some money. After you have that done, get diversified, not just in stocks. Get some gold and silver. Don't be top-heavy in leveraged investments like real estate, even though interest rates are low. That's what caused the bubble before, okay? So just be careful. Diversify, and you want to buy gold at a discount and silver at a discount, because the things that we described today are a nitroglycerin for gold and silver. So make that call. Get the information. Get some education. And help us help yourself to allow to learn how to invest in gold and silver. And that's what we're all about, education.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to watch this year, as diversification is always a big deal. It's always sound fiscal policy for an individual investor. But there's so many curveballs that are potential out there, and you got to be willing and ready to move. And again, one of the things you do with kind of a financial blueprint is understanding, okay, here's what we do, here's what we have, here's where our exposure is, and are we top heavy or are we not that diversified? And that's one of the first things people have to do, right, is kind of a doctor's checkup of their investments in general.
If you're financially sick, you go to the doctor. Our country's financially sick, and that's an understatement. So go to the doctor. This is a cardiologist doctor type of thing. It's at the center of the economic environment called the dollar, the debt. And that's where I'm the financial cardiologist, because paper is paper, and paper's gone by the wayside before, but gold and silver has stood the test of time. It's biblical, and it's been around for thousands of years.
Yeah, what a great point and a great reminder for all of us. LandmarkGold.com is the website for David and his team. LandmarkGold.com, or the old-fashioned way, as David likes to say, 844-879-8882 is the phone number. 844-879-8882. And when they call you guys, what are they going to experience, David?
No pressure. Lots of education. Answer your questions. Send out a packet. And see what your thoughts are down the road. And you'll have a lot of questions as a result of the packet.
Yeah, and then the ball is in their court, and they make a decision accordingly and make sure. We should all be praying over our finances as well, not just things with the country or things with us personally, but we should be praying about our finances as well. David, thanks for being on today. I'll continue to pray for you. You do the same for me. And we look forward to talking to you. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good, my brother.
All right,
take
man.
Care.
Love you, bro. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
That was David Fisher, just a great friend, a great supporter of the show, and just helpful. Very, very crazy situation we're in. It's only going to get worse. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your house built on the rock, or is it built on the sand? The sand of a Biden presidency, a Trump presidency. What happens tomorrow? What happens Wednesday? What happens in the world? Does that rock you, or does it not? Because with Christ, your house can be built on the rock, the firm foundation that never shifts or changes. Nothing changes, and your eternity is set. Do you know him? This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.